Welcome back, everybody. We're continuing to explore those fascinating and sometimes confusing pronouncements from the biblical prophets. And today we're going to try to unpack some of the trickier parts of understanding those ancient voices.
Always a challenge.
Oh, yeah. And we're diving specifically into a lecture today by Dr. Marv Wilson on hermeneutical principles for understanding the prophets, especially when it comes to the future of Israel.
Right. Well, it's interesting how we even approach prophecy, you know. Even within, say, evangelicalism, there's no single, like, agreed-upon method.
Right.
Dr. Wilson highlights kind of these two dominant schools of thought.
Okay.
You've got the Reformed or covenantal view, and then the dispensationalist view.
Gotcha.
And their interpretations can be pretty different.
Yeah. Could you give us an example of how those approaches actually play out?
Yeah, yeah. So let's take the idea of Israel's future as an example.
Okay.
Dispensationalists tend to have very literal interpretations of prophecy, really focusing on the physical details. So like a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, a revived priesthood.
I see.
You might be familiar with this kind of line of thinking from popular books like the Left Behind series, for example.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They also often hold to the belief in a pre-tribulation rapture followed by a seven-year tribulation period and then Christ's literal 1,000-year reign on earth.
Wow, that's a lot to unpack, especially that thousand-year reign thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like covenantalists kind of take a different route.
Yes, yeah, they do. They tend to view the church as the new Israel with Christ already reigning spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So prophecies about Israel's future might be interpreted more figuratively, I guess.
Okay.
Emphasizing the spiritual reality of Christ's kingdom and the transformation of believers' hearts.
Gotcha. So for them, there's not necessarily a rapture or a literal millennium.
Yeah, not in the same way that dispensationalists would view those things.
Okay, so where does Dr. Wilson himself fit into all of this? Because from what I've gathered, you know, in preparation, he's kind of journeyed through both of these perspectives, hasn't he?
He has. He actually started in a very dispensationalist environment, but then encountered covenantalism during his seminary years.
Interesting.
Which led him on this really fascinating kind of theological journey.
Yeah.
And what's intriguing is that he ultimately rejects what some call that plan B idea.
What is that?
That God initially intended to work through Israel.
Okay.
But then switched to the church when Israel quote unquote failed.
Okay. So he doesn't buy into that.
No, he doesn't.
I find that really interesting. Seems like he sees God's plan as more complex than that. You know, like there's something more going on there. Could you elaborate a little bit on why he thinks that way?
Well, he argues that God's promises to Israel, they remain valid.
Okay.
And he points to passages like Romans 9:11,
right,
where Paul speaks about God's enduring love for his chosen people.
Right.
And it's fascinating to consider that, like, the early church for the first two decades was entirely Jewish.
Wow.
Essentially a movement with their Judaism itself.
That's a great point. I haven't thought of it that way. That sheds a whole new light on how we might understand the relationship between Israel and the church.
Absolutely.
It seems like he's kind of pushing us towards a more nuanced, kind of a deeper understanding of God's plan.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it. He emphasizes that we need a hermeneutical approach that respects both the Old and New Testaments, but he cautions against simply imposing our own kind of theological frameworks onto the text. You know, like we need to wrestle with the complexity of God's plan and how it unfolds over time.
That makes sense. So how does he actually suggest that we approach these prophetic texts? Like what kind of methodology is he advocating for?
Well, he believes in starting with the Old Testament.
Okay.
As the foundation,
right,
and then seeing how the New Testament comments on it.
Okay.
And this actually mirrors the experience of the early church, who had the Hebrew scriptures as their primary text before the Gospels and Epistles were written.
Oh, interesting.
He criticizes approaches that disregard the Old Testament, like Marcionism, which completely rejected it.
Wow, that seems pretty extreme.
It is.
To just toss out a whole chunk of the Bible like that. But I can see how starting with the Old Testament could provide a really, you know, different perspective on how to interpret prophecy.
It does.
So he's saying we shouldn't do that.
No, he's not advocating for that at all.
Okay.
He also warns against approaches like allegorizing, which is where you impose a kind of spiritual meaning on a text without considering its original context.
Right.
And he also cautions against cherry picking.
Yeah.
Which I think we're probably all guilty of sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
Where you just pull out the verses that support your viewpoint and ignore the rest.
Oof. Yeah, guilty as charged on that one. But it sounds like he's really advocating for a much more careful, nuanced approach to understanding prophecy, one that considers the historical context, takes both testaments seriously.
Absolutely. He's calling for a much more thoughtful engagement with your biblical text.
Yeah, I like that a lot. But how do we reconcile that with some of the seemingly like straightforward language in the Old Testament prophets? You know, like when they talk about the Messiah being a warrior king ruling from Jerusalem.
Mm. That's a great question.
I mean, how do we make sense of that?
And it brings up a crucial tension, I think, when we're interpreting prophecy.
Okay.
Particularly the concept of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Old Testament often associates the Messiah with physical, earthly kingship.
Right, right.
It's a complex issue to unravel.
Yeah.
And it requires careful consideration of how Jesus both fulfills and transcends those expectations.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Especially when we consider concepts like the second coming.
Right. It adds a whole other layer of complexity, doesn't it?
This is definitely getting deep. I'm already starting to see how understanding these different viewpoints and the historical context is so, so crucial to actually grasping these prophetic texts.
It's essential.
Yeah, it seems like interpreting prophecy is a lot more complex than just reading a passage and saying, well, that obviously means this.
Oh, absolutely. It's way more than that. It requires, you know, careful thought and consideration. We can't just take it all at face value.
So where do we go from here? Like if we can't just take it at face value, how do we even begin to understand it? What are some practical steps we can take?
Well, I think Dr. Wilson highlights this really well, but he really stresses understanding the historical context in which these prophecies were given. We can't just like plop them down into our modern world,
right,
without thinking about, you know, how the original audience would have understood them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like reading any piece of literature, right? Like understanding the historical and cultural background can completely change your interpretation.
Exactly. That's a great point. It's about putting ourselves in their shoes, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, what was happening politically, socially, religiously, in ancient Israel at that time.
Right.
All of that matters.
It's almost like detective work. Like piecing together all those clues to try to unlock the meaning.
I love that analogy. And it's not just about understanding the past either.
Oh, okay.
It's also about recognizing that, you know, God's plan is still unfolding, you know, in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Wilson, I think, would say that God isn't finished with Israel yet.
Right.
And that has implications for how we understand prophecy today.
So it's a living story. It's not just some dusky history lesson.
Precisely. And that kind of leads to, I guess, the next piece that he emphasizes. And that's the importance of methodology.
Okay.
Like he actually critiques some of the ways that prophecy has been interpreted throughout history.
Hmm.
You know, like those who completely dismiss the Old Testament or twist the meaning of the text to fit their agenda, that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, it's a good reminder that we can't just, you know, pick and choose what we like from the Bible. We need to approach it with humility.
Absolutely.
And let it speak for itself.
Yeah, he encourages us to pay attention to the historical context, the literary genre, and the overall message of the Bible as a whole. You know,
right.
We need to wrestle with the text in a way that honors its complexity.
It sounds like he's advocating for a very careful and thoughtful approach.
He is. It's not about finding all the answers right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the journey of seeking understanding.
Right, right. Speaking of journeys, you know, we talked earlier about the millennium and the various interpretations around that. Premillennialism, postmillennialism, and amillennialism.
Right.
Dr. Wilson seems to lean towards a premillennial view, but could you just break down those different perspectives for our listener?
Of course. Premillennialism, as the name suggests, holds that Christ will return before a literal 1,000-year period of peace and righteousness on earth.
Okay.
Postmillennialism, on the other hand, suggests that Christ will return after this golden age, which comes about through the gradual spread of the gospel and Christian influence.
Okay, and then there's a millennialism. What's their take?
So the millennialists, they believe that there's no literal millennium. They see that 1,000 years mentioned in Revelation as symbolic, representing the ongoing reign of Christ in the hearts of believers and in the church. They believe that Christ's victory over sin and death is already accomplished, and his kingdom is being established now through the work of the Holy Spirit.
So in a way, each of these views is kind of trying to grapple with the same question.
Yeah.
How do we understand Christ's reign and the ultimate destiny of creation?
That's right. And while these views, you know, they might differ on the specifics, I think one thing all Christians can agree on is that prophecy ultimately points to King Gus.
Right.
Whether we're talking about his first coming or his second coming, the prophetic word testifies to his person and work.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It reminds us that even amidst all the complexity and the different interpretations, the focus remains on Christ.
Exactly.
He's the center of the story.
That's right. And that should give us hope, I think, even as we navigate these challenging passages.
Yeah, I think that's really important to remember, especially when we're dealing with a topic like prophecy. They can sometimes feel overwhelming.
Absolutely. And it's a reminder that we're part of a much bigger story, one that spans centuries and continents. Mm-hmm. Prophecy gives us a glimpse into that grand narrative, reminding us that God is sovereign over history, and his purposes will ultimately prevail.
Yeah, we've covered so much ground today, you know, from different interpretive approaches to the significance of Israel in God's plan. Is there anything else that stood out to you from Dr. Wilson's lecture that we should touch on before we wrap up? There's one thing that really struck me from the lecture.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
It was how Dr. Wilson talked about how the early church used the Old Testament as the foundation for understanding, like, God's plan.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
They had the Hebrew Scriptures as their primary text.
Right. And it makes you wonder how much our own kind of cultural biases influence how we read those texts today?
That's a great question.
You know?
It's a crucial question to ask.
Yeah.
And if we tried to approach those texts with that same reference and openness.
Yeah, imagine the insights we might gain.
You know?
Like putting on a fresh pair of lenses.
Exactly. And it leads us to another key point I think Dr. Wilson makes.
Okay.
Understanding God's ongoing plan for Israel. It's not just some kind of intellectual exercise.
Yeah, it's not just about decoding secret messages about the end times.
Right. It actually shapes how we live our lives today.
Oh, wow.
If we truly believe God is faithful to his promises to go with Israel and the church.
Right.
That should affect everything we do.
So it touches on, like, evangelism, social justice, even how we understand global missions?
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
It influences how we interact with Jewish communities and see their place in God's plan.
Yeah.
This isn't just about the future.
It's about understanding God's heart and his work in the world right now.
Absolutely. It's a powerful reminder that we're part of a much grander story, one that spans centuries and continents.
Right. Prophecy gives us a glimpse into that narrative.
It reminds us that God is sovereign and his purposes will prevail.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you hope our listener takes away from all of this?
I'd say don't be afraid to ask those tough questions about prophecy. Engage with different viewpoints, wrestle with the text, and be open to the possibility that God might surprise you.
I love that.
You know?
It's not about having all the answers. It's about the journey of seeking understanding.
Exactly.
And it's okay to disagree, even with respected theologians like Dr. Wilson.
Of course.
The goal is to grow in our knowledge of God and his word.
Absolutely.
Who knows? Maybe we'll even discover something new about ourselves and our place in this incredible story along the way.
Keep diving deeper. You never know what treasures you might uncover.